Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. As of now, the Iranian foreign minister says there is no agreement on any ceasefire. He says if the Israeli regime stops attacking Iran no later than 4 a.m. Tehran time, they have no intention to continue responding afterwards, adding the final decision on ceasing their military operations will be made later. This right after President Trump said on social media today that Israel and Iran have agreed to a ceasefire. ABC's James Longman.
President Trump announced a ceasefire deal between Israel and Iran. Under the terms of this deal, Iran would initiate a 12-hour ceasefire. After that, there'd be 12 hours of ceasefire from Israel. If in those 24 hours peace is achieved, well, that is the end of the war. But as we know, a lot can happen in 24 hours.
Meanwhile, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard praised what she called a historic ceasefire agreement between Israel and Iran. This is ABC News.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight as the Brewers open a home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Milwaukee now just 3.5 games out of first place after sweeping the Twins over the weekend. 9-8 yesterday at Target Field. The Brewers had a 9-3 lead thanks to Rhys Hoskins with a double, a home run, and two runs batted in. But closer Trevor Megill had to come in the eighth to hold off Minnesota. Pat Murphy says catcher William Contreras also doing a great job setting up batters and praised Megill getting his 17th save of the season already.
The kid's been pretty consistent. He knows who he is. And again, William Contreras was great back there.
NBA Finals, Oklahoma City pulled ahead to win the title in Game 7, 103-91. Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle on losing his star player from Oshkosh, Tyrese Halliburton, to a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
What happened with Tyrese is all of our hearts dropped.
That's Rick Carlisle with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. I guess John McCain singing in his grave. Yeah, bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Yeah, Trump did it. Are you surprised? I'm not even a little bit. There's a guy who wanted to nuke a hurricane. Am I surprised by him doing this? No. Am I surprised that he said, oh, we're going to decide 2 weeks and then did? No, nope. And look, this is what you voted for. I said during the campaign, don't be surprised if he gets us involved in a misadventure, and here we are. Now, Department of Homeland Security on Sunday warned heightened threat environment here in the United States. You go, no, really? One of the largest sponsors of state sponsors of terrorism being attacked, you think? And look, thank goodness we've got that 22-year-old in charge of the anti-terrorism department. Thank goodness. Now, you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene praying. And thank goodness for Marjorie praying that Iran doesn't attack. And look, I don't want Iran to attack either. They're going to respond somehow. This is what generally happens. And what's interesting is immediately Trump came out the best, most successful, biggest invasion is, as he does. We got it all. We did it all. It's all amazing. It's all fabulous. And then we find out, no. In fact, was it J.D. Vance? who came out and said, well, you know, maybe we didn't get it. Maybe it's still intact. In fact, the Wall Street Journal reported that Vice President J.D. Vance signaled that Iran's stockpile of enriched uranium is still intact, but also that the U.S. isn't interested in destroying the regime. Then Trump says, well, maybe I am. And look, I don't even care about that. The fact that they came out and said, yeah, we got it all, and now, no, maybe not. Because understand, they don't know. You're not going to know for quite some time. Assets on the ground. Now, the other part of this that's concerning to me is if I'm Iran, I'm going to do what North Korea did and speed ahead as fast as possible towards nuclear weapons. Because understand, Iran's got what, more than 60 nuclear weapons right now? And you know, it's an arsenal that likely makes them too powerful to attack. And you might think if you're Iran, they go, you know, and I've said this before a bunch of times, if I'm one of those countries, any of them, you got to have this. Because people generally don't attack people with nukes, which is why Ukraine giving up their nukes was such a big freaking deal. You know, depending on us to honor our word, Biden did, Trump not so much. Now, I do find it interesting, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, he said, quote, the enrichment of nuclear material, and now we can say it outright, the future production of nuclear weapons will continue. He said a number of countries are ready to directly supply Iran with their own nuclear warheads. You think Putin's going to go, hey, you know what? Or through a back door somewhere? I don't know. But the reality is, here we go again. The drums of war are pounding. The same kind of voices, the disconnected elites who want our kids to go and fight their battles. Because Barron's not going to the front lines. He'll have bone spurs or something. The wealthy in this country, they're not going to feel the consequences. Here's the reality. Seems a lot like Iraq. And I can already see what's coming. You know, working class folks are going to have to tighten their belts again because they're going to throw the flag in front of us and we're all going to hop to patriotically and we're going to march right in to another nightmare. Because we've seen this before, haven't we? I hope we're not falling for it this time. Look, the early polling gives me some hope that, you know, we've had enough. But the reality is, you know, bombing Iran is a disaster waiting to happen for working class Americans. Us. These politicians and the media hacks who haven't learned anything from Iraq. They think we're not smart enough to remember. Because sadly, most of us don't. But I think most of us do remember Iraq. There are a lot of us who have buried friends. A lot of us who have watched families be broken. We've seen the ravages of war. And here we go. I mean, you think about the Iraq war. Cost us trillions of dollars. That's not even the nearly 4,500 American service members dead. Tens of thousands of wounded. Countless other lifetimes ruined. And the reality is we left Iraq much worse than we found it. We destabilized the whole damn region. And now a lot of the folks who brought us that, we bombed Iran. And I don't think this is about national security. And look, I'm not an expert, but as a working class guy, I don't see how this is protecting we the people. I don't see how it's done. What this is about is about power. It's about influence. It's about oil. And it's about this obsessive, twisted thought of empire building. Do we want another endless war that keeps the contractors fat and happy and our news cycle full of misery? And of course, patriotism. and our blood being spilled. Look, I remember saying back years ago when Iraq was going on, I had a guest on this program who said, if you think Iraq is bad, wait till we go into Iran. Everyone thought, oh, it's going to be a quick strike. We're going to be in and out, limited engagement in Iraq. I'm hearing the same kind of things. Same kind of rhetoric. And we spent decades bleeding there. Iran isn't some weak puppet state. They have a big, well-armed, they got a military. And they've got about 90 million people there who, from what I know and what people have told me, are fairly moderate. Yes, the clerics and the crazies are extreme, but every time we go ahead and do something like this, it just gives them fuel to go, look, the evil Satan is coming for us. An attack on them is going to unleash, well, the chaos that Trump wants. And that's the sad reality. But again, it's the working class of this country. It's you and me. It's my kids, our kids, that are going to be the cannon fodder. It's our kids who are going to pay the price. And why? Well, I mean, at this point, I think it's all about, you know, giving tax cuts to the very wealthy. It's all about, you know, everything but what they say it is. I trust nothing that comes out of this administration. And now think about this. Walk with me if you will. They're talking about cutting, what, 90,000 people at the VA? 90,000 people. And if we get into another misadventure, what happens to those heroes that we're going to send off? I don't see how Iran bombing there is going to bring us a victory. I don't think it's going to bring peace or security. It's just going to bring more chaos, more destabilizing of that region. And I know some of my far-out religious friends, they're thrilled because end times can't be far behind. But don't tell me that this is patriotic. Don't tell me it's patriotic to support another war. Right now, it's my belief that patriotism is standing up for your country, not sending your neighbors off into some foreign misadventure where they can die, so that rich people like Donald and Barron can make huge money off of crypto. Understand, the Iraq War was one of the biggest mistakes that this country's ever made. We can't make it twice. We can't say, this is time it's going to be different. It's our job, you, me, us, to stand up and say no to this. And where are the Republicans in Congress? I've had a number of people go, you know, it's illegal for him to do that. I go, no, under the War Powers Act, he has the ability to do this. And I'm not, until they repeal the War Powers Act, I'm not getting into that. That's not even, it's not even the beginning of where my argument is. For me, and this is what I've been saying all along, so from a consistency standpoint, for me, it's all about, are you ready for this again? Are you ready to take off the red hat or the blue hat or the pink hat or put on a hat? I don't care. And organize around the idea that this is not in the best interest of the country. It's not in the best interests of we, the working class. Now, I've had a bunch of people say, well, you know, they're the state sponsors of terrorism all around the world. And yeah, they are. And you deal with that. But not by engaging in a war-like action with them. Because change in there, I still believe, has to come from within. And much like Dick Cheney said back in 91, if you invade into Iraq, you will be seen as occupiers and not liberators. This is that. And I can't believe I'm quoting Dick Cheney. But he understood that in 91. Now, you know, when they got the chance to go back, yeah, they cashed in. They cashed in big. But if Israel wants to go and bomb Iran, let them. The fact that that bomb came out of one of our planes, That's a problem. I'm curious your thoughts. Are we ready as a country? And do you think this is another wag the dog kind of scenario where nothing Trump has been able, nothing he ran on, he's been able to do? Didn't stop the war in Ukraine, hasn't done anything on Gaza, hasn't brought the price of anything down, hasn't fixed any problems. He's created a whole bunch. And hey, we're just a couple of months into this. There's still 3.5 years more to go. The question then becomes, is this what we're ready for? Now, I had my son ask me, is this World War III? And I'm going to say no, that's not my belief, because I don't think Iran is going to pull Russia in with them. And I surely don't believe that China is going to jump into it. I think they're smarter. North Korea, maybe. I don't know. Doubt it. So this will be a regional conflict. This will be another. I think if we're dumb enough to send actual people there, this will be another Afghanistan. This will be another Iraq because of the terrain and all of the disadvantages. Will we be able to do this with air superiority? How'd that work out for us in Afghanistan, where they didn't even have an air force? How did that work out for us in Iraq, where they didn't have an air force? I'm curious. Did we think this through? I know Marco Rubio seems to think he did. And it wants to lecture about what the intelligence... Doesn't matter what the intelligence says. It's just, you know... We know. But you know what? I don't trust you. I don't trust this administration. The one thing that I had hoped that they were not is warmongers. Here we are. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Tell me what you think. Is this the beginning of the next 20-year conflict? Is this the military-industrial complex's wet dream? Is this where we plunder what's left of our treasury? Is this the excuse for deeper cuts to food stamps, Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security? Is this where we finally raid the trust fund? The opportunities at this administration's feet in a war scenario are basically endless. You got to wonder, how much war gaming did they do in their think tanks? And how bad is this going to be for the working class of this country? I want to hear your thoughts. Rick@therickSmithShow.com. Right back.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So another family values Republican found his way into another grotesque scandal. And, you know, the hypocrisy. It's one of those things that, yeah, you know, it's incredible to me. It's so thick you'd need a chainsaw to, Elon Musk's chainsaw to cut through it. This time, it's a guy named R.J. May, three-time South Carolina state representative, not a senator. I didn't want to elevate him just yet. Card-carrying member of the far-right Freedom Caucus. And a guy who, he built his brand, man. Screaming about morality. Protect the children. And anyone, well... anyone who dare question is, well, a threat to America. Well, as of what I understand tonight, he's behind bars. Accused of trading some 220 files of child sexual abuse material. Toddlers. And he did it under the screen name of Joe Biden and 69. Yeah, Joe Biden. It's all Joe Biden's fault. You know that, don't you? It's all Joe Biden's fault. And look, the irony is so on the nose, it's nauseating. But are we surprised? Anybody shocked? Anybody surprised another Republican got caught? Of course not, because this has become a pattern with them. Pound the table about protecting the children. Those drag queens and doctors. All the while, I don't know. They got some dark, deep, repressed. They got some stuff, man. And now you got this guy who's been arrested and allegedly shared these 220 files of toddlers involved in. Wow. I'm. It's so disgusting and despicable. But, you know, here we are. That thing my mother always said, when they're pointing a finger at you, they got three more pointing back at them. What they're accusing others of doing, they're doing massively. And May's story is especially revolting. If this is true, the allegations, if they're true, the Homeland Security investigators allege that the child sex abuse material was downloaded and uploaded using his home Wi-Fi and his personal phone. Now, no, someone else. There are even suspicions that perhaps maybe he traveled to Colombia under a fake name and filmed himself allegedly, doing that with underage girls. His defense attorney, throughout the old... someone stole his password. Maybe it was his wife's fault. Let's not forget. This is the same guy who evidently said on the House floor, we have an obligation to ensure our children have no harm done to them while pushing anti-trans legislation. And here we are in a courtroom. Shackles on his wrists and ankles, accused of consuming and distributing the most vile stuff, if what I'm reading is accurate. And the only thing more twisted than the allegations are, the crocodile tears we're going to see from Republicans. Now, the Freedom Caucus, they did throw him out after the arrest, like rats jumping from a ship once the cameras roll. But don't forget, these were his people. They championed him. He helped them shape the most extreme corners of the South Carolina GOP and had no problem helping run challengers against other Republicans who weren't conservative enough for his tastes. Turns out that purity test kind of just, smokescreen. How many times do we have to see this play out? The Roy Moores of the world, the Denny Hastert's. Now this guy. And you go, maybe the Republicans just have this sickness. This rot behind the moral superiority mask. They wag their fingers at everyone, weaponize protecting the children talking points to attack gays and lesbians, teachers and doctors. And then, what do they do behind closed doors? And look, I look at the name. It's all Joe Biden's fault. It's all Joe Biden's fault. Again, these are the family values people. The people who want to basically steal food out of the mouths of children. The AP reported another blow to Republicans' tax and spending cut bill. The Senate parliamentarian has advised that a proposal to shift some food stamp cost from the federal governments to the state, the centerpiece of the GOP savings effort, would violate the chamber's rules. Yeah, violates the Senate rules, but rules be damned. They're going to do it anyway. Also, the president and the White House, they have put out a press release, and I love this. It said, in President Donald J. Trump's first 5 months in office, real wages for hourly workers have seen their largest increase under any administration in nearly 60 years. And we're just getting started with pro-growth, pro-prosperity policies that finally put America first. Their press release reads, blue-collar workers have seen real wage growth almost 2% in the first 5 months of President Trump's second term, a stark contrast from the negative wage growth seen during the first 5 months of Biden's administration. The only time this has been this high during President Trump's first term, Secretary Treasurer of the Treasury Scott Bessent said in an interview with the New York Post. The New York Post writes, since Richard Nixon in 1969, Trump has been the only president to record a positive growth for blue-collar workers in the first 5 months. He also achieved a 1.3% in his first term. The recovery from the 1.7% decline recorded in Biden's first 5 months as inflation outpaced earnings suggests a shift. In economic conditions for this financially stressed segment of the workforce. Yeah. Biden bad, Trump good. Now, forget the fact that first 5 months of Biden's term, you had the free fall collapse because of Trump's mishandling of the pandemic. Don't worry about that. And don't, you know, take into consideration that Trump's first 5 months had all of the investments and all of the stuff that Biden was doing to get the economy moving. Don't let reality, don't let reality come anywhere near your thought process. And look, we need to cut through the propaganda and get to real, what's really going on. Have you seen a raise? This claim of historic wage growth under Trump, it's a load of BS. And we know it is. And it's designed to mask the truth that the state of our economy and the struggles of everyday workers not getting better. Actually getting worse under this administration. And now that we bombed Iran, expect oil prices to go up. Gas prices are going to go up. Inflation will go with it. But hey, you know, the biggest wage increase in nearly 60 years sounds really impressive. Until you look at it, it's 1.7%. Inflation is what? 2.4 right now? So did life get better? For most working class families, wages have been stagnant and declining for decades. Not keeping up with the cost of living, not making lives better. So this statement by Trump, again, just propaganda. Just out there. And as I said, look, I said this at the beginning. They're going to turn Biden's successes into their own. Just like up the road for me, the Susquehanna Bridge Project. They've got Trump's name on that project. Wasn't his money that did it. It wasn't his bill. It wasn't his investment. He had nothing to do with it, but he slapped his name on it. And look, the fact that Trump's policies are putting America first, really? It's nothing but political rhetoric, and we know it. If it were true, why do millions of workers still face job insecurity, low wages, rising cost of living? Understand, the pandemic, inflation, corporate greed, they've all done their part. But it's policies that are aimed at enriching the few and cutting our social safety net. You know, the big, beautiful nightmare. That's making things worse. So this narrative also kind of conveniently glosses over the fact that wage growth under Trump has mostly been a continuation of the previous administration. Never mind. But what we do know is workers are working longer hours, struggling to make ends meet. And the idea that 1.7% increase in wages is going to make your life better, really? I want to hear it from you. Are you feeling it? Are things getting better? Is life better now? Did he accomplish what he said he did? Are eggs cheaper in your neighborhood? Gas down? Car insurance? Rent? Any of that better? No. What we do have is we've got chaos. We got lots of chaos. And we're only, what, is it 5 months in? 5 months in. Yeah. Wow. Back after this.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Few evening storms, then partly cloudy and a low in the mid-60s tonight. Partly sunny for tomorrow, highs in the upper 70s. More storms possible late Tuesday night into Wednesday. Highs again in the upper 70s. More rain is ahead as we look on into Thursday. Right now it's 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, I come back to, when you can't do what you said you were going to do, you can't fix the economy, you can't seem to end the wars in Ukraine or what's going on in Gaza, you just escalate. You know, this is wag the dog on steroids. But remember, this was the guy who all of my Red Hat friends said, you know, at least he didn't start a war. We're going to find out. I'm here to share some thoughts on what happened this past weekend. I've asked my good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website if you want to check out her work. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I don't know. I got a 19-year-old son. You know, I'm now going, did we just start World War III? Did we give Iran every reason to hurry up and build a nuclear weapon? Did we push them so far into a corner that, you know, you're not going to get them back? I don't know. We're going to find out. But like I said, I got a 19-year-old son.
Yeah, that's really scary. I wonder if bone spurs will still be an option if Trump reinstitutes the draft, which would not surprise me.
No, and Barron should go to the front. Barron to the front.
Yes, absolutely. This is really scary. I mean, I had friends who were texting me like, should we leave town? You know, should we not be in DC right now? How dangerous is it? You know, should I be making a go kit? I'm like, well, first of all, yes, everyone should have a go kit because natural disasters. But yeah, it's scary. I think a lot of people are freaking out. And at the same time, we're all looking to all of this insane amount of stuff that's going on in the country that desperately needs somebody with some kind of intelligence to fix it. And instead, it's, you know, look over here while I'm bombing these other people.
Yeah, no. And look, you knew that was going to happen. Because he is the master of chaos, the master of distraction. And, you know, what makes me feel so warm and fuzzy inside is that we've got a 22-year-old with zero experience heading up the Homeland Security's anti-terrorism agency. So I sleep so much better knowing that a guy who was he washing cars or doing dishes or something before this?
He was mowing lawns.
Mowing lawns,
for his
okay.
neighborhood. He was a landscape artist in his neighborhood, and that really helped him with business networking, is what it said on his LinkedIn page. the dude's picture, like, here's the thing. If you're going to take an official photo for the government, like, you want to look your best. You want to have, you know, the hair and makeup. This dude has, like, the big eyebrow thing going on. And it's just like, you look at him and you're thinking, where's your parents? Like, why? Who are you? It was just the weirdest thing seeing this dude. I was like, oh, great. Now we're really safe. I feel awesome now.
And this is the problem with having someone like Trump at the head of the table. He has surrounded himself with, I guess this time it's because he's never claimed that these are the very best people. They seem to be the very worst, but at least they're loyal. At least they're going to do whatever he wants them to do, which I got to tell you, I think is nothing at this point. I think they want chaos. I think they want an attack. Mm-hmm. I think they want a reason to go and cause a whole bunch of chaos in the Middle East and elsewhere so that we stop focusing on eggs still haven't come down. Gas prices are going to go up. Everything else is going to go up. And the reason my red hats voted for him, twofold. One, the economy, and two, he didn't start a war until, I got to wonder now.
Yeah, all of the right-wing machine during the election was like, oh, she's gonna start wars. She wants to bomb people. She's going to send us all to have boots on the ground and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, really? In what world are you living in? If you look at some of the books that were written from the top Trump people from the first Trump administration, it makes it pretty clear that he's been wanting to bomb somebody for a while.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just a, you know,
even a hurricane.
This isn't just like a beef with Iran. This is, I want to drop a bomb on something. And I think, you know, Iran presented the opportunity last time around, but there were people there that were able to sort of talk him down and be like, okay, this is one, a really bad idea. What is your exit strategy? How do we, you know, make this actually work? What is your goal? And of course, he doesn't know any of those things because he's not a legitimate strategist, right?
And you've got someone like Pete, and you've got Pete Hegseth at the Department of Defense. So no warm and fuzzy. I mean, if you're in the military right now, I got to be worrying for you.
I'd be retiring real fast. Although, I mean, I guess everybody who's gay or trans or whatever can just be, I mean, like, now everybody's going to be trans, right? Everybody's going to be like, you know what? I want to be a woman, so I need to go see ya.
And the weird thing is it didn't help Klinger. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why this is a thing. This has been around for, and I had this conversation the other day with someone, and I said, look, this issue has been around forever. Lou Reed was singing about it back in the 70s. The Kinks had one of their biggest songs about Lola. I mean, Klinger was on one of the top rated TV shows ever. And, you know, the society didn't end.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
With Donald Trump. And, I mean, I go back to all of these things that he was going to fix.